If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And God's word said, "My son." So he's talking to the church here, talking to his children. He said, "My son," he said, "if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." We're still talking about the wisdom of God here, and I want you to listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says we have a part in our salvation. We have things that we have to do. We have certain things and stuff that we have to put forth in order to serve the Lord. He said, "If thou wilt." Sounds like there's an option right there. He said, "If thou wilt receive my words." If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments. Listen to what he said. "Hide my commandments with thee." And that made me think of the book of Psalms. And what David said in chapter 119 in verse 11, he said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Jesus in the Bible says here, said, "Hide my commandments with thee." And God's word said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," that I might not sin against thee. He said, "I've hid this word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." People, I'm going to tell you something. We've got a sin problem in this old world today. We've got a sin problem on every side. As I begin to read this and I begin to study that, I begin to think about what God's word said there. And let's look at the book of Romans. Start reading in verses in chapter 5. And I told you that I grew up in the Church of God. And the Church of God teaches that once you're saved, if you sin, then you fall from grace and you're not saved anymore. And I don't believe that God's word teaches us that, because if that was true, we would have little or no hope, because this old flesh is sinful by nature. So we've got a sin problem in this old flesh. We've got a sin problem in this world, and it's getting worse. The Bible tells us and stuff, he said that Jesus, they asked Jesus, his disciples did, said, "What's going to be the signs of the end of time?" And one of the things that he told him, he said, "Because sin will abound," he said, "the love of many will wax cold." Now, I believe he was talking about the church there and stuff. Because if sin was going to abound, the love of many is going to wax cold in the church. Satan is doing everything he can to ease sin into the church house. He's wanting to do that. He's wanting to run the church. He wants us to sit on the benches. He wants us not to be witnesses, not to be servants, not to serve the Lord. That's what he wants us to do. He's happy with us being complacent and just sitting there and not having a desire to serve the Lord. Now, when I was a young man, and like I said, I was growing up in the Church of God, the Bible tells me that there's sin in this old flesh. Paul said, "I know that in me, that is according to my flesh, there dwells no good." Paul was saying this old flesh of mine is sinful by nature, and there's nothing good about it. He said, "I know that sin is with me." He said, "I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So what he was saying there, he said, sin is present with me in this old flesh everywhere that I go. And we still have that same problem today. Now, when I was a young man and in school and stuff, you know, nothing changes. Nothing changes throughout your life. But when you're young, it seems like the temptations are worse. And I think about the kids nowadays and what they're going through, because we don't have any idea what kids are going through nowadays and stuff. And a lot of the problem and stuff, a lot of the problem is raising at home, because most of us, not all of us, but most of us was carried to church. And we was taught right and wrong at home. We had a lot of raising at home, a lot of raising at home and stuff. And the kids nowadays and stuff, I'm going to tell you something. When you can drive down the road at night and you see what looks like an 8 or 9 or 10 year old child going up the sidewalk by themselves, something just a little bit wrong and it done dark. Kids just turned loose and sin is running rampant. But when I was a young man, like I started to say, well, go, thoughts would come to my mind. And see, I took sin serious. I took sin serious. I believed that what was wrong was wrong. And so I had a very hard upbringing and stuff, living with that kind of lifestyle and stuff, so that I felt like I was sinning and doing wrong. But what it was the Holy Ghost convicting me of my sins and telling me I was doing wrong and trying to take me the other way. And that's what we're missing today to me. We're missing that. We're missing that conviction. We want to accept things too easily. We say, well, it didn't used to be that way, but it's that way today, so we go ahead and accept it. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. That is not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, beginning with verse 20, it said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, we're talking about the law here. We're talking about sin. We're still talking about the wisdom of God. Now, we're still talking about the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God wants to leave sin out. It wants to leave sin out. We're supposed to hate sin. We're tempted, but we're supposed to hate sin. The Bible says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, listen to what it was saying. The law came in so that we might know sin, and that the offense might abound, become worse. But where sin abounded, listen now, grace did much more abound. God gave us grace to take care of our sin problems. He gave us His Son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross, who did no wrong, to pay a sin debt that He did not owe, that we could go free from the bondage of sin. From the bondage of it. We don't have to live under the bondage of sin. We don't have to be bound by sin. Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Begin with verse 1 in chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Because see, what you look at was something like that right there. Now see, when I was growing up in the Church of God, and we talked about Baptists, see, Baptists didn't have what we had. You ever notice that? That this church ain't got what we got. That church ain't got what we got. See, that's to a certain extent, it may be true. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got what God has meant for you to have. So be careful when you start talking down about somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you something, you better be careful because you can fall flat on your face before you know which end is up. I mean, it's a drop of a hat. That's a drop of a hat. Now, the Bible says right here, it says, what shall we say then? Because what we said back then, that the Baptist preached a religion to sin if you want to. And see, that's not true neither. That's not true. Because the Bible teaches us right here, says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, since grace is already abounding? Shall we continue in our sins? The Bible says, God forbid. Now, I don't know how you take that, but I believe that right there says, God said, leave it alone. Leave it alone. See, that's what's happening in this world and stuff. Now, Satan is teaching people it's okay to get your feet wet just a little bit. It's okay to dabble with sin just a little bit. Because, listen, everybody else is doing it. Look around you. Everybody else is doing it. You can see it and stuff. Mix your church and the world together. That's what the devil wants you to do. See, that's the way Satan is. I've said this time and time again. Brother Peter said he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's exactly the way he is, because that's the way he operates. He's there for one reason, and that's to destroy you. Jesus said the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not there for no good reason, church. He's not there for no good reason. He can steal, not your salvation, but he can steal the joy of your salvation. As the psalmist David prayed in Psalms 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, because David had lost that joy. Because he let sin come into his life. And that had caused separation or lack of fellowship between him and God. And that's the way it is in this old world. You see, Satan don't want you close to the Lord. He don't want you close to the Lord. He don't want the church, the local church I'm talking about, to be close to the Lord. Because if you're close to the Lord, you're going to do what the Lord wants you to do. We're here for one reason, and that's to be servants and to be witnesses in this old world. God, help us to be a light in a world that's in darkness. Help us to do that. And I'm going to tell you something, church, that's hard to do nowadays because people don't want to hear what you got to say when it comes to the Lord. They don't want to hear a witness. They don't want to listen to it. Satan is doing everything he can to take Christianity out of this old world. Doing everything he can. Now, he don't care about religion. That doesn't mean a thing in the world to him. He doesn't care one thing about religion. You'd have religion all you want it. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. He said, what in the world is going on? He said, you got to be born again. He said, you can be religious all you want to be and stuff, but that's not going to help you get into heaven. You still will split hell wide open. We're talking about salvation, we're talking about serving the Lord, and we're talking about shunning sin and hating sin. I thought, what a scripture, and read it so many times, but I thought, what a scripture to say, thy word have I hid in mine heart. For what reason? That I might not sin against thee. I've hid thy word in mine heart, Lord, for one reason, that I don't want to sin against thee. That's what we need in the church today. That's what we need as Christians, not just in the church, but in our everyday life. Lord, I want thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, but that I serve thee every day of my life to bring honor and glory to your name, whatever way you'd have me to do that. Whatever way, this is the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, I heard Brother Ken say one time when he first got saved, he said that he told a little joke on the job and said there was a Christian man there with him and said that, he said the joke was a little shady and said that Christian man told him, said, take your sign down. He said, now if you're going to be a Christian, he said, you're going to have to be a Christian all the time. Said, you can't give no reason for the world to think any different. People, that's what happens to us. You know, all you got to do is stumble and fall one time. I mean, and listen, how can we, honest to goodness, how can any of us say, well, I've only stumbled and failed one time? I don't think there's nobody here who want to raise a hand and say, well, that's me, Brother Lee. He said, I've only stumbled one time. I've only failed one time in my life. But what the world does when it sees us stumble and fall, it goes back to what I've said time and time again. Say, well, if they're a Christian, then the woods is full of them. God forgive us and God help us. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's something that I still live with in my life. Things that I've done that I didn't have to do. Things that I've done that I shouldn't have done. And I still live with those things. And I pray God every day that goes by to forgive me. And I know the Lord forgives me and I know He forgives us. But see, we do things that causes harm that we shouldn't have done. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God help us. God help us. To have that word in our heart. Help us that we hate sin so bad that we don't want to sin. Not that we're not going to fail. Not that we're not going to stumble. But God help us that we don't sin. God help us. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Listen to what the Bible says now. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let this old flesh die. Paul said, I die daily. That's what Paul meant. Paul said, every day that goes by, I die to this flesh, and I submit myself unto my Lord and Savior, that He might live and shine forth through me. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death had no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now right there, we've got one of these things that we read a while ago. He said, if thou wilt hear my words. See, we've got a part that we have to do. It's just like praying. Praying is good, and it's needful, And we should pray every day that we live. But you know, sometimes we got to put some feet on them prayers. We've got to put our part into it to serve the Lord, to go out there. It's hard to serve the Lord in this old flesh, because this old fleshly man is going to rear up against it. And we're going to struggle and we're going to fight and we're going to wrestle with that. And that's an everyday thing. I wish I could tell you different, but it's not. It's a struggle every day that we live to serve the Lord. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now there's the second time, God forbid. Listen to what it's saying now. First time right over here, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And it says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now, you know, here we go again. God is a loving God. He loves us. He cares for us. Every day that we live here in this church tonight, I've said it time and time again, I'll continue saying it. We're here in this church because of the grace of God, because we could be somewhere else. We could be somewhere else. This is a gift of God to be in the church house tonight, as opposed to being in a hospital or as opposed to being at the funeral home. Having someone sick, having someone hurt, it's a grace of God to be here with one another. With one another. God is a God of mercy, but He is also a God of judgment. He's not going to hop up there and say, God forbid, time and time and time again, and let's just do what we want to do. It's not that way. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. We've been purchased. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord for those who know Him as their personal Savior. And we all have a part in the body of Christ to do, to serve the Lord. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You can't split the fence. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the flesh. And there's rewards and consequences on both sides of that right there. Rewards and consequences. The Bible says right here and stuff, He said, if you serve sin, it's going to be unto death. The Lord can and will take you out of this world. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, there is a sin unto death. That's what the Scripture says. That if we choose not to serve the Lord after we're saved and we want to go out and just do wrong and do wrong and do wrong, there's going to be consequences to that. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you now are ashamed, for the end of those things is death? You see, the Bible tells us and stuff there's shame in sin, and that's what I was talking about a while ago. The Bible says you're going to reap what you sow, and believe me, that's the truth. I told my wife the other day and stuff, I see things that's coming back on me now that I done when I was younger that I'm paying for right now and stuff, people. And I can't say a thing in the world except this is what I have planted. This is what I have sown. And now it's coming back to me. And as I see these things coming back onto me, there's nothing I can say except, Lord, your will be done. Because he told me what was going to happen. Not only did he tell me, but I read it in his word. And his word is true. God's going to do just exactly what he says. His word is going to fulfill just exactly like it said it would. He said, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we read the scriptures here that God wants us to have no part with sin. Let me read you some scriptures over in the book of 1 John. Chapter 2. Begin with verse 1. It said, my little children. There we go again. Now we're talking to the church. He said, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, something to be thankful for right there. He said, I write unto you that ye sin not. That ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. You know what that is? That's a lawyer. I'm thankful that I've got one that pleads my cause before God Almighty. I'm talking about one who took my part on an old rugged cross. I'm talking about one who came in the flesh. You know what he did when he came in the flesh? He took upon himself the form of flesh, and he knows what we go through, people. He never sinned. But the Bible says he suffered those temptations. He was God in the flesh. He could not sin. But he was yet in the flesh. And the Bible says he suffered our temptations yet without sin. So that tells me that he was tempted of the devil. And I read in the scriptures where he was tempted of the devil. And he suffered those temptations in this old flesh. So that he knows what we suffer when we are tempted by Satan in this old flesh. And he pleads our cause before our Heavenly Father and stands there with nail scars in his hand and say, I paid the price, I purchased this one salvation, and I'm pleading his cause as he comes before you and he prays for forgiveness, and I'm thankful that we have this advocate with the Father. We have something that the devil wants you to not really realize what you've got. Satan does not want you to know how blessed you are, people. I'm going to tell you something. I told Brother Mike sitting in the prayer room. They had a truck pulled up over at the store one day, had a head marker on it. They were going to a graveyard to fix a cemetery and stuff. And God told me, he was coming in the door and said, Lee, they're coming for you outside. I said, well, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. That ended that conversation because they know where I was fixing to take it. They know that I was going to tell them that I was washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by his merciful grace, got a heavenly Father that's waiting for me on the other side, telling me to come on home. When he calls me home, I got a place to go that this whole world don't know nothing about. And the devil don't want you to know just exactly how blessed you are. He wants that kept from you. He wants it kept from the church, because you know what? If the church could get just a little bit of a glimpse of what's waiting on the other side, you know what? The devil couldn't do a thing with us, Brother Tim. He couldn't do a thing with us, because we'd be a shout in the house now because of the glory of God and what He's done for us on the old rugged cross. He paid a sin debt that He didn't owe. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. He's the propitiation. He's the payment. He's the atonement. He's the one that made the way for us, brothers and sisters in the Lord. He's the propitiation. He said not for ours only, not just for the church, but for the whole world. Because the Bible says in John the Baptist, seen Him coming to the River Jordan. I've said it and I keep on saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't say the sin of those who be born again, but He said the sin of the world. When He hung on that old rugged cross, all the sins of the world were paid for. All you've got to do is come to the cross and accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life.
Amen.
That's all. It's a free gift. The Bible says that because Adam sinned, sin passed on to every one of us through the bloodline and stuff. Oh, but there was a heavenly bloodline that came into this whole world that purchased our old nature and washed us in His precious blood and saved us from the devil's hell. That's the place that Satan wants to carry in this world. You know why? Because he don't want to be there alone. You remember we talked about this one time before. People get into trouble. They don't want to be in trouble by themselves, so they invite you to come on over and get in trouble with me. They don't want to be in trouble by themselves. Satan don't want to be in trouble by himself. He wants you with him. And that's what he's doing. That's the reason I said it is time that we wake up and we start hating sin. I'm not talking about hating sinners. I'm talking about hating sin. Our heart ought to break over the loss of this world. That's the reason Jesus came into this whole world, because His heart was broken for mankind that was on their way to the devil's hell. There was no other payment could be made except Him, and He paid the price. The Bible says that hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. Now that tells us that we need to walk like the Lord. Paul said, I press on toward the high calling. He's seeking to be like the Lord. That's what each and every one of us should do. We should seek to be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us. Like I said before, the devil's doing everything he can to slide under the church doors. I said a while ago that Peter said he was a roaring lion, and truly that's what he is. But as he did there in the Garden of Eden with Eve, he didn't come up like a roaring lion. Bible says he came in the form of a serpent, a beautiful form, and he got Eve to looking at that tree. And he got to telling her all the good points of that tree. The Bible says when she looked on it and saw it was good for food and a tree to be desired of, then she did take it and eat. You see how the devil operated there? He wasn't like a roaring lion. He was subtle. He was subtle. That's the way he comes in, people. That's the way he'll come into your life. That's what he does, just a little bit at a time. All he's going to do is just take a little short step at a time. He only wants you to see him coming. And before you know it, he's sitting on the bench beside you. We want sinners in the church house. That's where sinners need to be. They need to be in the church house under the preached Word of God so that they can hear the Word of God and the Holy Ghost can convict and deal with them and bring them to an altar of repentance. But we do not need sin in the church house. We do not need sin in the church house. We need to come in and ask God to forgive us and help us to worship Him in spirit and in truth as He seeks those to worship Him. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 2. He said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words now and hide my commandments with thee." Now we're going back to the wisdom of God, which that's what we've been talking about this whole time, is the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God keeps us from sin. There is no sin in the wisdom of God. The Bible says, he said, "If thou wilt receive my words." If you will receive my words. Now there's an option there, as I said before, that we've got to do. We've got to receive His words. We've got to want His words. We've got to want His words, and we've got to have His words with us and His commandments. And He said right here, "And hide my commandments with thee." You want the Word with you all the time, because this is one of the things that we do battle with Satan with, is the Word of God. Because we're not strong enough to fight Satan on our own, because the thing he's going to come after us in is our own weakness. So how in the world is a weak man going to whoop a strong man? How am I going to overcome the devil with a weakness that's in my flesh? I'm going to have to do that through the Lord. That's the only way that that's going to be accomplished. And for me to do that, I've got to be ready to seek the Lord. Now I've got to know what God's Word said, because I've got to be able to fall back on that Word. You know, the Bible says when He was tempting Jesus, every time He would tempt Jesus, Jesus said, "The Word says." The Word says. The Word says. And listen, don't think that the devil don't know the Word, because what did He tell him? He said, the Bible said, He took him up on an exceeding high pinnacle and stuff and told him, He said, "Cast thyself down, for it is written." Now this is the devil. Says, "For it is written, he shall bear thee up, his angel shall bear thee up, lest I should dash thy foot against a stone." So the devil knows the Word too. So you better make sure you know it. You better make sure you study this Word. This is more than just a book to lay on a table somewhere. This right here is something to read and study every day, because you're never going to get it all. You're never going to get it all. This is not bad medicine. This is good medicine right here and stuff. It ain't got a bad taste to it. It ain't going to choke you to death. Maybe some things come in there that you may say, "Oh Lord, forgive me. Why are you reading it? Forgive me." But as a general rule, this right here, something cool, go down easy. Going to go down easy. You'll say, "Lord, I didn't know there was that much intelligence in the world," and there ain't. Because this Word is not in this world, it's out of this world, it comes from another place. He says, "So that thou wilt," now listen now, he's done said, "If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." So that, now listen, he says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Now listen to what God's Word said. I told you one time before, I said, you'll hear with your ears, but if you're going to listen, you're going to listen with your heart. Because all your ears are is just a hole in your head to let things go in. There don't nothing come out your ear unless you get a bug in it and you scratch it out. Or you get earwax out of it. But as a general rule and stuff, you know, don't nothing come out your ears. It's a hole for things to go in. But the Bible says right here, it says, if thou wilt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You got to take that wisdom in, and then you want that heart to understand it. And why do you want that heart to understand it? So that you can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just take on more and more and more of the Lord, so that you become more and more like the Lord, so that you can serve Him better. Because that's the whole point of us being in this whole world, those who are saved by the grace of God, is that we might serve the Lord. That is what He wants us to do, is to serve Him and to love Him. And let me tell you something, there's no end to His rewards. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Now, when you go looking around at a lot of things and stuff, I ain't got a whole lot in this whole world, but you know what? I'm blessed. Because ain't nothing in this whole world that the Lord has blessed me with that I'm going to take with me. I'm leaving with my empty hands and stuff, but I'm going home. See, I ain't been home yet. I'm thankful I've got a place to live. I'm thankful to the good Lord and stuff, you know, for that. But see, that's not my home. That's not my home. That's a tent that I live in right now. And the stakes ain't drove down too tight and stuff, you know, because when He tells me to come home, I'm going home to a place I've never been. I'm going to see people that's gone on before me. What a blessing. What a blessing. Listen to what the Scripture says. If thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Listen, if thou criest after knowledge, you know what a child will do when they want something real bad and you tell them no? If you took them to the toy store and they see something they want real bad and they go to dragging on your bitch's leg and stuff, say, I want it. I want it. And you said you can't have it. They'll cry. They'll cry. What did the Bible say right here? If thou criest after knowledge, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God? The Bible says, if thou criest after it. You know, that's one thing that I think is wrong in the churches again today. We don't cry after things anymore, people. I've told this story before. I remember seeing my daddy standing in the field after he had plowed and planted and looking up to heaven and praying, God send rain and to bless his crops. You know why? Because my daddy had done all he could do. He couldn't make one thing come out of that ground. You understand what I'm telling you? He was seeking the Lord to bless what he had done. People used to come into church houses and they'd get in the altars and they'd cry unto the Lord for lost loved ones. You know why? Because they couldn't save them, church. They couldn't save them. And their loved ones was on their way to a devil's hell. Now that's still a fact today. If you've got loved ones, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, and they're lost and undone, they're on their way to a devil's hell, and we don't think about that like we should. We don't think about that like we should. The Bible says here that if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You know, lifting up your voice, you know what that is? That's prayer. That's prayer that's going along with just what I just said. We don't cry like we used to. We don't seek the Lord like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We don't get in our prayer closet and our hearts are broke, calling to God to help us. Help us. Because we need it, church. Nothing that we can do on our own. Nothing. It's just like my daddy standing in that field. He'd done all he could do. And now it was in the Lord's hands. Nothing else could be done. Brother Mike, I'm going to stop right there.